The scene was in the jailhouse, and if curfew rang that night, Nell's dad in number 13 cell would go out like a light. She knew her dad was innocent, so plucky little Nell, she tied her tender torso to the clapper of the bell.
Hang on the bell, Nellie, hang on the bell. Your poor daddy's locked in a cold prison cell. As you swing to the left, Nellie, swing to the right. Remember that curfew bell must never ring tonight.
It had started when sweet Nellie said no, no to handsome Jack and struggled for her virtue there down by the railroad track. Nell's dad came to her rescue as the train roared down the line. Jack fell back across the track and paid the price of crime.
Hang on the bell, Nellie, hang on the bell. Your poor daddy's locked in a cold prison cell. As you swing to the left, now you swing to the right. Remember that curfew bell must never ring tonight.
Nell's daddy got arrested and brought up before the law. The sheriff said, old handsome Jack ain't handsome anymore. Poor Nell, she cried and pleaded, but the jury didn't care. They didn't have a sofa, so they offered him the chair.
On the bell, Nellie, hang on the bell. Your poor daddy's locked in a cold prison cell. As you swing to the left, Nellie, swing right. Remember that curfew bell must never ring.
They pulled upon the bell rope, but there was no tingling. They could not get their foul deed done, for curfew would not ring. To and fro aloft swung Nell, while below they pulled and heaved, when suddenly a voice cried,
"Stop! Your daddy's been reprieved!"
They cut her fair young body down, while she made protest weak. And as they laid her out upon the ground, she cried in girlish pique, "Look, I tried to save my daddy, which was true a noble thing. But still, while I was up there, man, I learned it's fun to swim."
On the bell, Nellie, hang on the bell, for your poor daddy's strong from the cold prison cell. As you swing to the left, Nellie, swing. No matter when that curfew rings, we're gonna swing tonight.
Hang on the bell, Nellie. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I have with me on the phone two of the three gentlemen who performed that very memorable song. I have Chad and Mike. Two-thirds of the Chad Mitchell Trio.
This is Mike Koblak, and this is Chad Mitchell. And you can't tell our voices apart because we are, in truth, twins.
Either that or it's actually Chad portraying Mike.
Or Mike portraying Chad. I guess you'll never know.
We want to acknowledge that the other member of the Chad Mitchell Trio, Joe Frazier, could not make it tonight, but has promised to listen to the show and critique it.
And correct, at least to Chad and me, anything that we say that he thinks is perhaps incorrect.
What can you tell me about that song, Hang on the Bell, Nellie? Either of you?
Well, that's a good question. Because we're both silent. I can't read. But we got it, if you want to know the truth. It seems to me, and I could be wrong, but I think Jim McGuinn brought that song to us. At least in my old age memory bank.
I wonder if it's based on a true story. Well, I don't know.
What did they call those things? Melodramas. It's based on a melodrama of some sort. And whether it was just a satire of the melodramatic period, because they always had these guys with the twisted mustaches and, you know, and such is on the railroad tracks, and Dudley Do-Right is going to, you know, I mean, it's all of that stuff. Whether it's based on something, I truly don't know.
One of my favorite recordings by your group is Hello, Susan Brown. I don't think there's any deep meaning to this song, but it's a very catchy song, I think, Chad.
There's a deeper meaning than you think.
Oh, well then.
We changed a few lyrics.
Oh.
I think it was a fairly early song. We wanted to make it a children's song. But the real lyric is not coffee grows on white oak trees. The real lyric is coffee grows on white folks trees. Their river runs with brandy-o. You know, so it really is a black children's song in its derivation. But that was the real lyric initially. And we said, no, let's not muddy up the waters of this great kid song with the political connotation at that point. So we did change the lyric to that.
And it became a chart record for you, too.
It did.
And we're going to listen to it right now. Hello, Susan Brown, the Chad Mitchell Trio.
Coffee grows on white oak trees. The river flows with brandy, oh. Go choose someone to roam with you. Sweet as lasses candy. There's two in the middle and a cat and Stosy, two in the middle and a can't get around. Two in the middle and a cat and Stosy, hello, Susan Brown. Two in the middle and a cat and Stosy, two in the middle and a can't get around. Two in the middle and a cat and Stosy, hello, Susan Brown. Railroad, steamboat, river and canal. I lost my true love on that bridge and canal. Well, she's gone, 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 and she's gone, gone, gone. She's gone for to stay on that bridge and canal. Four in the middle and I can't get around. Four in the middle and I can't get Josie. Hello, Susan Brown. Four in the middle and I can't get Josie. Four in the middle and I can't get around. Four in the middle and I can't get Josie. Hello, Susan Brown. Railroad, steamboat, river and canal. I lost my true love on that page and canal. Well, she's gone, 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 and she's gone, gone, gone. She's gone for to stay on that bridge and canal. Fiddle in the middle and I can't get around. Fiddle in the middle and I can't get Josie. Hello, Susan Brown. Fiddle in the middle and I can't get around. Fiddle in the middle and I can't get Josie. Hello, Susan Brown. And railroad, steamboat, river and canal. I lost my true love on that bridge and canal. We don't want to turn around, can't get Josie. We don't want to turn around, can't get around. We don't want to turn around, can't get Josie. Hello, Susan Brown.
Susan Brown. I'm Ronnie Allen, pleased to have on the phone with me Chad and Mike of the Chad Mitchell Trio. Now we come to A Dying Business, and this is one of your serious records, right? A Dying Business, it's about funerals.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean,
bravest undertaking we've ever made. It was inspired by Jessica Mitford in her book called The High Cost of Dying.
Who wrote the song?
You know, I'm not sure unless Mike is. But then, of course, if you'd look on the record, you would find out.
Oh, yes. It's, hold on a second. It's A Dying Business, and it was written by Ebb and Martin.
Fred Ebb and Norman Martin.
Fred Ebb is the guy who was the voice of the Little Blue Man on the Betty Johnson record, by the way.
This is Fred Ebb who wrote
many of the
Broadway shows,
Broadway musicals.
Yeah, it is the same Fred Ebb.
Candor,
Candor and Ebb.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah.
It is. Believe it or not, he was the little blue man.
Oh my God!
And a lot of people,
didn't
either. Actually, a very talented songwriter, well-known songwriter. He wrote Cabaret, I believe, and so on. Yeah, he did that record. A lot of people thought it was Hugh Downs who was the little blue man voice, but it wasn't. Hugh Downs did it with Betty Johnson on TV, but it was actually Fred Ebb who recorded it and wrote the song. Anyway, a dying...
You're a font of information, Ronnie.
Yeah, and you don't even know if I'm just bluffing here or not. That's the amazing thing. I could just make anything up. You'll believe it because I sound convincing, but I am right about that.
I believe that one.
Is it fair to say that this recording kind of speaks for itself?
Yes, and we still do it today occasionally.
Okay, right now, the serious side of the Chad Mitchell Trio. Here's A Dying Business.
Funeral Directors of America, I am very deeply honored standing here, receiving this token of your esteem, the Funeral Director of the Year. Now, I've been asked by all the delegates and members of the board to tell you of the funeral that won me this award. It was handled with taste and dignity. That much I can say for it. And I'm sure it will take the family 20 years to pay for it.
It was a hell of a funeral. It was a hell of a funeral. The finest funeral ever booked. I had some high school juniors who passed around petunias and willies everywhere you look. It was a hell of a funeral. I say one hell of a funeral. Oh, how I wish that you were there. I had tender miniaturettes doubling on the castanets. It really was a lively affair. It really was a lively affair. It was a hell of a funeral. It was a hell of a funeral. The National Guard showed up for me. And during the oration, they went into formation and formed the letters R.P. It was a hell of a funeral. I say one hell of a funeral. I gave it all my love and care. The band was on his toes playing Mexican Valley Rose. It really was a lively affair. It really was a lively affair. A tisket, a tasket, tell us about the casket.
No, tell you about the casket, my good friends, it meant more I pop. It was sterling silver all around with a real four-mica top.
Four-mica top, it had a four-mica top.
Well, I'll tell you about the widow, my good friends. The widow was navy blue with a gown designed by Balenciaga. I supplied that too.
He sold the widow.
Although I don't much like the boast. And I gave away a Chevrolet to the person who cried the most.
He gave away a brand new Chevrolet one.
The 19 jugglers by the grave to demonstrate their art. And one day was done, fired a gun to let the hoot nanny start.
He fired a gun and hoot nanny begun.
I was serving beer and pretzels till the hot pastrami came, and I sold some souvenir hankies with a dear departed's name.
He was selling hankies with a dear departed's name. At the fitting finale, we had the Rockettes in New York Music Hall. As you can see, my very good friends, all in all,
all in all.
Well, that song was called A Dying Business, and I think it basically says it all, so I don't have to say any more about it. This next song is a seasonal song, but I think it's a good song for any season, a song written by Tom Paxton, and I think this actually became your biggest hit single. It's called The Marvelous Toy. How'd it go? Whir or zip or bang or I forgot.
Well, it did all of those things, and Tom Paxton brought this song to us when he was auditioning for the Chad Mitchell Trio. He was auditioning to take the place of Mike Pugh, who left after 1 year. We sang with him for about a week and then finally decided that that particular timbre of voices wasn't going to work for us. And so Tom said, great, but I've got this song that you've got to hear. And he sang The Marvelous Toy for us. And so we had the great fortune of being able to record it first and put it out eventually as a single record.
When I was just a wee little lad, full of health and joy, my father homeward came one night and gave to me a toy. A wonder to behold it was, with many colors bright. And the moment I laid eyes on it, it became my heart's delight. It went zip when it moved, bop when it stopped, whirr when it stood still.
I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
The first time that I picked it up, I had a big surprise, for right on its bottom were two big buttons that looked like big green eyes. I first pushed one, then the other, then I twisted its lid, and when I set it down again, here is what it did. It went zip when it moved, bop when it stopped, whirr when it stood still.
I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
It first marched left, then marched right, then marched under a chair. And when I looked where it had gone, it wasn't even there. I started to cry, and my daddy laughed, for he knew that I would find, when I turned around, my marvelous toy chugging from behind. It went zip when it moved, bop when it stopped, whirr when it stood still.
I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
Now the years have gone by too quickly, it seems I have my own little boy. And yesterday I gave to him my marvelous little toy. His eyes nearly popped right out of his head. He gave a squeal of glee.
Neither one of us knows just what it is, but he loves it just like me.
It still goes zip
when it moves, and bop when it stops, whirr when it stands still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
The Marvelous Toy, Chad Mitchell Trio.
Let me tell you just a quick anecdote about that. I don't remember how far it got up on the charts, but it got quite a ways up on the charts. And it probably would have gone into the top 10 or even to the top 1, except Kennedy got assassinated 2 weeks after we released it. That pretty well shut down the record. Of course it shut down the country, and, you know, we're getting close to Christmas, and no one wanted to, you know,
talk about a marvelous toy
at
with
that point.
Yeah.
And it had kind of a detrimental effect on the ultimate success of the record, but you're right, it was the best-selling record that we ever had.
Now there's an interesting song, The Great Historical Bum. What can you tell us about that?
Well, Woody Guthrie.
Well, at one time, actually, Odetta and both of those songs together.
Time out!
Great.
That's a whistle. I guess I was supposed to say either Chad or Mike. And
now that you've said Chad, let me tell you what the real story
no,
is.
No,
it's a matter
the real
of
story goes back to the time.
Piece of satire that
and
Belafonte came up and said,
"Huh?"
That's why we're going to leave you.
Okay,
wait a minute. Hanging. I think that's the funny part.
This is the first time I ever feel I've lost control of the show here. All right, I will ask you just briefly, Chad, because we only have about 10 or 15 seconds now to discuss this song.
Well, I think this is another song that Milt Okun brought to us and said that Odetta and I've forgotten who the other person was, that they had kind of done this in some form or another, and we seized on it, I will say. I mean, it was just such a perfect song for us to make the introduction that we made, which actually set the song up, I think, quite wonderfully.
The concept was that both Joe Frazier and myself, Mike, would try to outdo each other by bragging, and Chad would attempt to sing a verse after Joe or after me or both, and we wouldn't allow him to. We wouldn't let him to until the very end of the song, where he finally got to sing his little verse. And then pandemonium takes place when all three of us, just as we did in the spoken introduction, sing our own stuff and go in our own direction. We finally end up together.
I think that it might be appropriate for us to introduce ourselves individually to you. My name is Chad Mitchell, and I'm from Spokane, Washington.
My name is Joe Frazier, and I'm from Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Lebanon is situated in one of the most fertile valleys in the East Coast.
My name is Mike Koblick, and I come from the great Canadian Southwest. And I come from a town called Trail, British Columbia, and it's noted for its lead zinc smelter, which is world known. It's the biggest in the world.
Well, everybody knows that in Pennsylvania we have a great many steel mines and steel mills and things, and Lebanon has one of the largest ones there. It's my hometown.
Trail is not a one-industry town, though. Trail also is the center for the Elephant brand fertilizer, which is built right there. No, this is true. No, really. No, this is true, though. They have a company there that makes nothing but Elephant brand fertilizer, and it's the biggest company of its kind in the whole world.
Well, Lebanon, Pennsylvania is right near Hershey, Pennsylvania. You've all heard of that. And that's where they make all the chocolate, and there are more candy bars made there than any other place in the whole country.
Trail is also noted because last year the Trail Smoke Eaters hockey team won the World Hockey Championships over in Sweden.
The amateur hockey championships.
But the World Hockey Championships over in Sweden.
Yes, I forgot to mention that Spokane, Washington is the apple, cherry, and blue leaf cabbage center of the United States.
I was born about 10,000 years ago. There ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. I saw Peter, Paul, and Moses playing ring around the roses, and I'll whoop the guy what says it isn't so.
Well, I'm just a lonesome traveler, a great historical bum. Highly educated, through history I have come. I built the Rock of Ages, it was in the year 01, and that's about the biggest thing that man has ever done.
I saw Adam and Eve driven from the door. I'm the guy that picked the fig leaves that they wore, and from behind the bushes peeping, saw the apple they was eating, and I swear that I'm the one went at the core.
Garden of Eden.
Now I built the Garden of Eden, it was in the year 02. Joined the Apple Pinners Union, and I always paid my due. I'm the man what signed the contract to raise the rising sun, and that's about the biggest thing that man has ever done.
I taught Samson how to use his mighty hands. I showed Columbus to this happy land. And for Pharaoh's little kitties, I built all the pyramids. And through the Sahara carried all the sand.
Now I was strong both on the pyramids and the Tower of Babel too. I opened up the ocean, let the mighty children through. I fought a million battles and I never lost a one. And that's about the biggest thing that man has ever done.
I taught Solomon his little ABC. I'm the first one that ate Limburger cheese. And while floating down the bay with Methuselah one day, I saw his whiskers floating in the breeze. And it was
now I fought the revolution that set the country free.
And a couple of Indians that dumped the Boston Bay.
I won the Battle of Valley Forge
and the Battle of Bully Run.
And that's not the biggest thing that man has ever done.
Well, Queen Elizabeth, she fell in love with me. We were married in Milwaukee secretly. But I got tired and shook her and ran off with General Hooker to go shooting skeeters down in Tennessee.
Now I was born about 10,000 years ago. There ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. I saw Peter, Paul, and Moses playing ring around the road. And now what the guy that said it isn't so. Now I'm just a lucky traveler, a great historical bum. There ain't nothing in this world.
I'm a great historical boy. I'm educated through history. I am a fighter, the rock of ages, the air of one. And
I'm Ronnie Allen, and Chad and Mike, I just cannot thank you enough for taking the time out of your very busy schedule when you could have been doing something else. There's all these TV shows you could have been watching, and instead you said, I'm going to do this interview with Ronnie, and it means a lot to me. And what can I say?
Ronnie, this is Mike Kobelek, and I really have enjoyed these past minutes with you, and I just wanted to say thank you to you and everybody out there on the other coast for thinking about the Chad Mitchell Trio and playing some of our music.
Well, it's my pleasure. Chad, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yes, thank you so much for getting us out of the wheelchairs into the radio audience once again. It's been a delight.
It's not the radio audience, it's the audio radiance.
It's the audio radiance. It's my brain that's not working correctly. Thank you so much.
We're going to close with your version of Blowin' in the Wind. Did you do that before or after Peter, Paul, and Mary did their version?
Well, actually, this is kind of an interesting story in a way. Bob Dylan had just written this new song, and Bob Dylan's business manager was a good friend of Milt Okun, who was our musical director, and of Frank Fried, who was the trio's business manager. Bob Dylan's manager owed one of our managers a personal business favor. So he brought this song and said, here is Bob Dylan's first written song, and it's a good one. It's going to be a very important song. It's something that the Chad Mitchell Trio should do. And so we took it and learned it and recorded it almost immediately and wanted desperately to put it out as a single recording. The music director for Harry Belafonte, whom we were signed to, came and said, I'm sorry, we can't put this song out as a single recording because it has the word death in it, and there has not been a hit single with the word death in it.
How many deaths will it take?
Okay.
No.
What did I hear? Okay.
And so he said, no, we're not going to put it out as a single. Well, we were dismayed because this, we felt, was going to be a very, very important song. So the business manager for Bob Dylan then decided to take the song back, not take it away from us, but in essence to give it to Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Whom he also managed, by the way.
So he said, all right, if the Chad Mitchell Trio, who has already recorded it, is only going to put it on their album and not put it out as a single, then we're going to give this song to Peter, Paul, and Mary because they would like to put it out as a single. And it became a very important song and a very big hit for Peter, Paul, and Mary and for Bob Dylan. The album that we had recorded it on was called The Chad Mitchell Trio in Action. And as soon as Peter, Paul, and Mary's hit the chart and started to move upward toward number one, our record company changed the name of our LP, long playing record, from In Action to Blowin' in the Wind. But they still would not put it out as a single.
If Peter, Paul, and Mary's record was climbing the chart, then maybe they just felt, okay, they're
no
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
There was no reason to do it.
There was no reason to do it.
Point being is that they wouldn't let us do it. Peter, Paul, and Mary made a hit out of it. So then they changed our album name to take advantage of that. It was like kind of a 1-2 punch, you know, in our faces. And we said, that's it. Thank you very much.
Sometimes called a double whammy.
A double whammy, and we went on to Mercury Records. The other thing is, not only did we record it first, we also performed it on the Ed Sullivan Show, which was the first time that it was ever performed.
It was the first time it was ever televised and heard by a large percentage of the public.
A large number of people. And they still wouldn't release it as a single. You know?
They still wouldn't release it, but I'm sure it was a mighty big shoe.
Oh, a mighty big shoe.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? Yes, and how many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears
this must one man have before he can hear people cry. Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing. How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head, pretending he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Well, that's the show. Now we have a couple of bonus tracks. It's by the slightly irreverent Chad Mitchell Trio. Here's James James, Morrison Morrison.
James James Morrison Morrison weathered New George debris, took great care of his mother, though he was only three. James James said to his mother, "Mother," he said, said he, "don't ever go down to the end of the town if you don't go down with me. Don't ever go down to the end of the town if you don't go down with me." Now James James Morrison's mother, she put on her golden gown, and James James Morrison's mother, she drove to the end of the town. James James Morrison's mother said to herself, said she, "Well, I can get down to the end of the town and be back in time for tea. Well, I can get down to the end of the town and be back in time for tea." King John put up a notice, lost, stolen, or slain. James James Morrison's mother, she seems to have been mislaid, wondering vaguely all about, quite of her own accord. She tried to get down to the end of the town, 40 shillings reward. She tried to get down to the end of the town, 40 shillings reward. James James Morrison Morrison, commonly known as Jim, said to his other relations not to go blaming him. For James James said to his mother, "Mother," he said, "don't ever go down to the end of the town if you don't go down with me. You'll never go down to the end of the town if you don't go down with me." Now James James Morrison's mother, she hasn't been heard of since. King John said he was sorry, and so did the Queen and the Prince. King John, somebody told him, said to a man he knew, "If people go down to the end of the town, well, what can anyone do? If people go down to the end of the town, well, what can anyone do?" J-J-N-N-W-2-P took the care of his room, though he was only three. Now J-J said to his room, he said to me, "Don't ever go down to the end of the town if you don't go down with me. You must never go down to the end of the town if you don't go down with me. Don't ever go down to the end of the town if you don't go down with me."
Let that be a lesson to all you mothers.
And finally, here's a song written by Shel Silverstein called The Hip Song, or if you prefer, It Does Not Pay to Be Hip.
Oh, yeah. Well, for a long time now, I've been aware that I'm so hip the rest of the world is square. Now I'll tell all you people and just take my tip. It doesn't pay to be too hip. Now yesterday I found myself sort of in the red, with no immediate way to meet my overhead. Well, I went up to my buddy and I asked him for some bread. Here's what he said. He said, "Sure, you want white bread or rye bread or pumpernickel or whole wheat, cracked wheat, bagels, the holly or the ollie?" Well, I said, "Later." He said, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30. I said, no, like later, baby.
Oh, you mean next week?
Well, I said, let's forget it. Well, I went on uptown to see a man that heard he had a little stuff on hand. I said, tell me, baby, can you spare some pot? He said, you're welcome, man, to anything that I got. I got steel pots, aluminum pots, cast iron, brass, and pewter. I said, no, no, good. You mean put it in the refrigerator? No, no, I mean, like, you know, cool it. You mean turn on the air conditioning? Well, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind either. Well, I was getting real uptight and sort of brought down. There was nobody hip in your whole damn town. And then I met this chick, and she was long and tall. And I asked her, you know, if she'd care to have a ball. She says, football, or baseball, or volleyball, or handball, or ping ball, or soccer. I said, you're putting me on. She says, the train, on the bus, or the plane, or the subway. I said, no, I just want to make it. Make what? Well, a scene. I want to make a scene. Shakespeare, Clifford Odets, Arthur Miller, Pirandello. Well, what do you do but say forget it? And then she said, well, you know what I'd like to do? No, what? Well, I'd like to make love to you. Well, go, baby, go! And I lean back and I close my eyes. And she laughed.